This is Spotlight on France, a podcast from Radio France International. I'm Sarah Elzis, and today we head to the south of France. Once a year, the small city of Perpignan is taken over by photojournalists and photography fans for the Visa pour l'Image. It's the largest photojournalism festival in the world, and this year is the 30th edition. Allison Hurd went to take a look, and she met some of the photojournalists who were there to show their work and also trying to sell it in a tough industry where each year it's more and more difficult to get published.
Perpignan in the south of France. This is a small town. It's like only 120,000 people. But during the 10 days of the Visa pour l'Image festival, it literally doubles in size. And I'd say about one in every five people that you can find around the city centre here in the medieval part of town is wearing a badge with Visa pour l'Image. It's no surprise that a lot of people here speak Spanish because we're very close to the Spanish border. I didn't cook up that music, honestly. I met the guitarist, Doni, by chance. He was playing outside the Dominican church where I'd gone to meet photojournalist Samuel Bollendorf. He's been coming to Visa pour l'Image for...
I think it's the 20th.
20th?
Yeah, I came for the first time on 98 with my first story. I was nobody, and I was able to meet maybe more than 20 or 25 picture editors, and I had my first assignment a month after, and I started working for the press. So Visa pour l'Image is a real great place for photographers, and of course for young photographers, to start to meet the editors of the press worldwide.
Bollendorf's latest photo reportage is called Contamination. He went around the world to the US, Canada, Japan, Russia, southern Italy, photographing the scars left on the land, sea and air through chemical waste. Radioactive forests, rivers with deformed fish, children born without eyes, plastic drifting in the ocean, forming particles that are now part of our food chain, and all, says Bollendorf, in the name of profit.
You know, for 20 years I've faced so many terrible stories, but always I was able to think I'm a lucky man because it's not my story. And so I was able to continue to work on those stories. But today, when I came back from this tour, I really feel that today I can't say that. This is my story. All those stories are our story. And we deeply have to face that because we can't be blind anymore. We can't continue like that.
In Russia, he photographed the town of Dzerzhinsk, 400 kilometers east of Moscow. Chemical weapons used to be made there, and it was closed to foreigners. The toxic waste was put in holds. They look like black lakes, he says, more than 100 metres wide.
When you walk on the side of that lake, the ground is soft and it's gluing when you...
Sticking to the soles of your shoes.
Yeah, and it's brown and the smell is totally unbearable. You have headache after 15 minutes.
And there are people living very close to that lake.
Yeah, and there's those kind of lakes and waste all around the town, and people are still living in this town, yeah. We met the director of the maternity.
The maternity hospital.
And he's been the chief of the maternity for more than 40 years, and he was saying that we knew that there was trouble, but the result of the studies were never communicated. They were totally hiding the troubles.
I got started with this project when I was assigned by the Geographic, and I went to Kansas, and my first week in the field, I was arrested for flying over a cattle feedlot. And it was kind of a wake-up call to me that there are certain parts of our food supply that the producers don't want us to see. You know, as a reporter, somebody tells you you can't see something, of course, that's what you want to look at more closely.
That's George Steinmetz, another very well-established photojournalist with years of experience. In his show, Big Food, he looks at large-scale food production, mainly in the US, China, and Brazil.
Experts estimate that we're going to have to double the global food supply by 2050, and a lot of this is international food supply. China is rapidly increasing its demand for grain, mostly to feed livestock, and the most logical solution to that is large-scale agriculture.
But unlike Bollendorf, Steinmetz refuses to take a position on this.
I'm not anti-big farming. I'm not an advocate. I'm just a messenger of information so people can make up their own mind.
One of the photos is of a dairy farm in the US where 3,300 calves are kept in individual plastic hutches. From the air, it looks like a chessboard. Close up, a bit like a prison.
Most people, when they see this picture, they find it quite disturbing. But if you're a dairyman, it would be a wonderful situation. The cows here are all in individual little fiberglass hutches. You would find this in virtually every dairy farm in the world. This is kind of the way, kind of the state of the art, as you will. And each cow has a little area, maybe 2 square meters, in which they can be protected from the elements. And they have a little yard about 1 square meter outside. And they're put in here when they're very young, when they're first separated, right after they're separated from their mothers. And they do this to protect the cows from spreading disease from one to one another. When you have hundreds or thousands of animals that are almost genetically identical, if one gets sick, they can all get sick very easily.
Visa pour l'image has always had its share of heart-wrenching subjects, people caught up in war and violence. There are 2 exhibitions on the plight of the Rohingya, the Muslim minority in Myanmar, many of whom have been forced to flee to neighbouring Bangladesh. One in black and white is by Kevin Freya. It shows their forced exodus in 2017, with long lines of people traipsing through mud, not a ray of hope in sight. The other is by Paula Bronstein, and it goes back to 2012 and shows the build-up to that exodus.
This photograph was taken in November 2012, and it shows a Rohingya man behind a barbed wire barrier, which is restricting access to the Buddhist-controlled town of Sitwe. If you're wondering why I'm whispering, it's because we're in a place called the Couvent des Minimes, the Minimes Convent. It stopped being a convent just after the French Revolution, but there's still a sort of almost religious hush in this place. People are shuffling around looking at these photographs almost with a kind of reverence.
Make me feel really sad about the way the mankind can react about other religious act. And I didn't know about the refugees, and well, I'm shocked. It's I don't know what to say.
It's important to get those stories of suffering and injustice out there, but with the growth of digital media taking a toll on print, magazines are commissioning much less, and when they do, they pay less. Visa pour l'image hand out a few awards each year, allowing the lucky few to work on something they care about. Catalina Martin Chicos won the Canon Female Photojournalist Award last year, and she used the money to go to Colombia and spend time in the jungle with former FARC guerrillas who've put down their weapons. Now that they're no longer fighting, the ban on female FARC having children has been lifted. Martin Chicos had the time to make an in-depth report called Colombia Rebirth.
How could I make this story in 1 week? I wouldn't really tell the same story, right? I would just tell 1 week in the jungle. And so the fact to be able to come back after 6 months to follow up characters, to make a relationship with them, to create trust with time, that made such a difference. You know, I could be sleeping in the bed with the girls, in their room. That gives me an access to intimacy, to understand really how they live, and to be able to document it in the best way and the closest way to reality, which is very important in our work.
The photos show women bathing and playing with their babies, learning to live as a family and to show emotion. Babies have replaced weapons and people are looking to the future. It's a feel-good report. There's a lot of hope in there. And as such, it's swimming slightly against the tide.
For me, the aftermath of the conflicts are almost as important as the conflict itself, you know. So once the news are gone, what happened to these people after? And I think this is a very interesting part and under-documented part of the conflicts also. You know, like the mountain can be seen from several angles. And FARC, we have an idea of FARC people, but now it's important just to show the difficulties of these people and the good parts. It's something that is not very interesting for a lot of journalists, but for me has been very interesting to share, and let's hope that it will be shared more and more.
Editors will tell you that stories of tragedy and violence sell better than more upbeat ones. But do people really want wall-to-wall misery? Don't we all need a reason to believe things can get a bit better? Photojournalism is also about that.
That was Alison Hurd in Perpignan. There's some more interviews with photojournalists on our website, rfienglish.com. This is Spotlight on France. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.